This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore. Why don't you talk to me,
Seething your eyes is not the way I feel inside, and I wonder why. It has to be this way now, and I don't know what's real. Won't you tell me how you feel? You can live your life.
Good evening. My name is Sue, and you're listening to Hear Me Roar here on Joy 94.9. Co-hosting with me tonight is Lisa. Hey, Lise.
Hi, how are you going again?
I know.
I'm back again. Can't get rid of me, can you?
I think we're a bit of a duo at the moment.
The dynamic duo.
The dynamic, yeah. Well, I think we are. Now, later on this hour, we're going to be talking to Danae Gibson. Now, she's the general manager here at Joy 94.9. Danae was appointed to the position late last year, and she started just a few weeks back. Now, Danae's had this huge career in radio, but what we're going to try and find out from her is her perspective on the females within the industry and see whether there's enough and see what's going to be happening for Joy in 2010.
Never too many women on radio, I say.
It is good at Joy, though. Do you think we've got a good representation here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, around the studios, you often see women in front of the microphone and behind the microphone. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes on as well. So, yeah, I think we're pretty well represented.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the mainstream media?
No, not so much, I don't think. Oh, I mean, there's the eye candy weather reporters and news presenters.
Who are stealthily thin and with pearly white teeth, those
exactly.
ones.
Exactly. Although I'm sure that there's a lot of female reporters behind the scene as well, but they probably don't get their head on screen or whatever.
Yeah, it's the ugly mug syndrome thing where they're beautiful women and they're seen as ugly or too fat or teeth are crooked or God knows what.
Or once you're over 35, you're considered too old.
What is it with that? You get a 35-year-old guy, they're seen as fantastic and knowing on the TV, and then you get a woman that's like, no, she's old haggis now.
Well, yes, I don't know. Maybe they think the men are more distinguished than the women are has-beens. I don't know.
Now, in our world today, we've scoured the papers and press to see what's been happening. Now, there are claims that Victoria's assisted reproductive technologies, the clinics will be overloaded. The information has been alarmist and inaccurate, according to same-sex parenting advocacy group.
Right.
Basically, The Age on January 3 reported that doctors feared that the assisted reproductive technology services would be stretched to limit that for the IVF because of single women and lesbians. Now, and of course, of the police checks, they've also caused some delays in accessing services. But they're saying that, or this person said that because of single women and lesbians, it would be stretched even further and then the services just would be ludicrously difficult to access.
Well, I think it's pretty ridiculous anyway. Most of I've been through this process and most of the Victorian women up until recently have been heading over the border anyway. I suppose what they're concerned about is that the Victorian women are now going to start accessing the Victorian sort of services. However, might I just add, you do pay for the service, so should it really matter whether or not you're lesbian, single, or you're in a married relationship? If you're paying for the service, then so be it.
It doesn't. It shouldn't really matter, should it?
No, it shouldn't. I just think it's crazy, and you know, sort of the whole police checking thing is pretty much a bugbear for me as well. What does that mean? As far as you know, sort of, are all people put through police checks? Married, single, lesbian. You know, I'd like to know that actually.
I'm assuming that they would be, surely.
Yeah. Well, interstate, there was no requirement for police checks. However, there were counselling sessions that you had to go through, etc.
Oh, here, I'm just looking in this article now. According to the report, the new requirement for police checks on all people.
Well, that's okay, I guess, but it's still an odd thing to do, though, I think.
The police check.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to distinguish.
You go, I shoplifted in 1892. I'm sorry, it was bread.
Or you might have been arrested as part of an activist role. You know, just say that we were protesting on the steps of whatever, and if we were thrown into the back of a divvy van for protesting about human rights or what have you, does that mean that you can't access these services? I suppose it'll depend on what criminal record you have.
Yeah, what's the cut-off point? That's an interesting point, Lisa. And I guess a lot of women, excuse me, who seek donors and who have found donors, can accessing these services, it has to be a lot safer for them.
I guess from knowing some people, they used to do the backyard job, you know, the old turkey baster and a friend of a friend or what have you. And knowing that they didn't get tests on the so-called donors, I mean, this is obviously a lot safer because, you know, they will test the donor sperm and make sure that they're not carrying any diseases, et cetera, which, you know, is obviously, you know, safer for the mother, the child, everybody. So this is a great step forward to be able to access this this service in Victoria.
Absolutely. So the report saying that it will backlog, it really is a lot of rubbish.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it is too. Now, a Sydney lesbian has been accused of bashing her girlfriend. A Sydney lesbian has been charged after allegedly beating her girlfriend following a drunken threesome on New Year's Eve. Apparently, these two girls picked up a man.
Mm-hmm.
Took him aback, had a bit of fun and games, and then one girl had sex with the man, and the other partner obviously didn't like that particularly so much, and got into a fight. Now, one of the girl who was beaten was taken to a hospital where she was treated for a tear to her bowel lining and severe bleeding.
That's a fair beating.
That is just absolutely disgusting.
That's horrendous, no matter who you are, and especially, I don't know, the whole lesbian beating up on your girlfriend thing is it astounds me, to be quite honest, the whole domestic violence thing.
Anyway, regardless of sexuality.
Regardless of sexuality, but, oh my God, I mean, you know, to engage in that sort of, you know, it was obviously a consensual thing at the start, and then it goes horribly wrong, and then to do that is I think they should throw the book at her.
Oh, I think it's disgusting. She's appeared in court with recklessly causing grievous bodily harm. Obviously, the court is going to decide on her future.
Mm.
So she's been refused bail at this stage. I think that's pretty sad times that anybody would beat anybody else up. And certainly in those circumstances, I just think it's pretty disgusting.
Mm.
Now, giddy up.
Giddy up?
Yes. Now, we've got, what's it called? I've got to think of it now. The pink stiletto steaks. Have you heard of these, Lisa?
No, I just recently saw this news story, but it sounds like it'd be fun.
It does, actually.
Really great fun.
Now, the world's first GLBTO race day, now it's the pink stiletto, is set to be the ultimate social event in the lead up to the 2010 Mardi Gras Festival. Now, at Royal Randwick Racecourse, the day has got a whole lot of, obviously, things going on. And then there's pink stiletto steaks. And what it is, it's a celebration of Outlandish fashion drag stakes, where basically the drag queens race down the track. You'll love this.
Right.
In the crest to be crowned. So it's kind of like the bridesmaids aiming for that bouquet, they're aiming for the tiara in this stakes. Can you imagine how funny that would be, these drag queens, you know, ripping off each other's gear in the effort to get their tiara.
Ripping the wigs off each other. There'd be smudged mascara.
I think it'd be absolutely lovely.
Aren't it great? That sounds fantastic.
Now, the good bit, there's many good bits, but Gay Waterhouse, which Gay, hey, that's funny.
Yeah.
She's come on board as the ambassador, which is absolutely fantastic.
Good on you, Gay.
I'm loving it.
Mm.
I think it's great that she's on board with that.
Oh, she's a bit of a character, I think, Gay Waterhouse.
Yeah. What do you think that she's in it for the right reasons or a bit of publicity?
No, well, I don't know. She's a bit of a celebrity racing guru, I guess. And I guess even if she was in it for a little bit of publicity for herself, which I don't really think she needs, because she's quite popular in her own. I mean, she's a great trainer as well. Let's face it.
I think, I just think she's in it because it's the right reason. Good on you, Gay. Mm. Now, the final thing we're looking at today, there is a survey that's going to be online until April. So we'll be talking about it a bit more. But there's the same-sex attracted young people are being invited to participate in the third Writing Themselves In. Now, this survey is going to look at spotlighting issues affecting 14 to 21-year-olds, looking at sexuality, health and well-being. The Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society is going to document the levels and impact on homophobia on same-sex attracted youth, so that's males and females, and look at what support mechanisms are available in the community and how the kids use them. So the theme for this year's survey is Who Pushes Your Buttons?
Right.
Which is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So we're talking about when you say pushing your buttons, is this who gets who basically discriminates them or against them?
Yeah. Who's offending you and what are they doing? So what kind of homophobia are you facing and how do you deal with it? So say you are being bullied, you're being called a fag at school. How do you then go about dealing with that? Have you got a support co-worker? Have you got access to the switchboard? Do you know about it? Do you know the GLOWs? So that sort of thing. So I think that's a really good survey. So if you are 14 to 21, I remember that.
Oh, I do remember that too.
It's a long time ago, wasn't it? So remembering the survey will be online until April 2010. Now it is at WTI3.org.au for same-sex attracted youth. Now you're listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9 with Sue and Lisa.
The bottles are blue and sandstone amber, clear mocked in black, the writing, the ties we share.
You're listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9. Today in the studio, we have Danae Gibson. Now, Danae, you've been recently appointed as General Manager here at Joy 94.9.
I have, recently as a few weeks ago.
How are you finding it so far?
It's very easy to find in the middle of the city.
It's a great spot, isn't
it? It's a great spot. I love it. I love the fact that I can see Parliament House out one window and Melbourne Central's upside down colander, whatever that is, out of the other window. Yeah, sure. It is a great location for Joy, and to be slightly more serious, I'm finding it very exciting and invigorating.
Oh, good-o. Because you've got this really strong history in broadcasting, volunteering, queer activism, journalism. Is there anything you haven't done in the media?
I don't dance very well.
That's good.
So I haven't done any Dancing with the Cars kind of, no, I don't do variety.
We can put that on the agenda for next time. Now, you were in a community radio station in Perth. Now, you've hosted several shows.
I have.
One of them being Sheer Queers. Mm. Tell us a bit about that one.
Well, it's actually, I was one of the Sheer Queers, but the program was called Sheer Queer way, way back. And it's so long ago now that I'm not sure if it was 91 or 92, but there used to be a program, a national community radio program called Out and Out. And that came from Sydney and it was networked through all the community radio stations. And, you know, as things happen, the funding fell over and there was a real need for local queer community radio, and the station that I was involved with, RTRFM, I hadn't even started there. A couple of the players who I think have probably been through Joy and certainly lived in Melbourne over time asked me to come along and join the collective, and I did. And so that was October, which is the Pride Festival time in Perth, like midsummer in Melbourne.
Best time.
Fantastic time. Also, quite similar in lots of ways because it's very spring-like and lovely in October in Perth. So we started a four-week program and I think it, for me, it lasted nearly 10 years.
So it was a good 4 weeks
then. Yeah, we started off with a pre-recorded 30-minute program on a Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. It ended up all over the place and but a lot of fun.
It would have been a hell of a lot of fun. From moving from that, you went then to TAFE. Not saying that you went back to TAFE, but you became a lecturer at TAFE.
Yeah, so I was very fortunate to be able to lecture in radio broadcasting at TAFE, and it was a new course. There'd been radio broadcasting at TAFE in WA, but not for some years. So the film and television department of Central TAFE was right in the middle. It's a bit like here in City Village, right in the middle of the city. I wanted to bring radio back into the creative industries area of TAFE. And so I was the right bunny at the right time.
In relation to queer activism, was it happening there within that area of radio, or was it, I guess, I mean, not wanted to say anything, but was it a standard kind of course, or were there this great group of people who wanted to push some boundaries in the media?
Do you mean why did we start a queer radio program, or?
No, within the lecturing.
I am listening, I am paying attention.
I'm glad you are. I'd whack you.
Don't understand the question.
No, within your lecturing, the course,
yeah,
were there a group of queer activism based students?
So I guess we should clarify that I haven't lectured in queer activism.
No, you haven't. But I wondered whether there were a group of queer activist students who wanted to push the boundaries, and just perchance you were involved in, I guess, promoting that.
Well, in the last, I'll go with this answer.
Okay.
I'm starting to sound like a politician. How hideous. In the last 3 years of teaching young radio broadcasters at Central TAFE, I have noticed that there is a number of openly queer-identifying students within, and one of those students who just finished a Certificate 4 level last year is about to launch the new queer radio program on the radio station that I was most recently involved with. So I kind of like to think that there was just role modelling by being open and out as a lesbian. We didn't teach any queer history within the radio broadcasting, but I don't know. I don't know what you think, but I think there's a certain attraction to performance and radio in particular for members of the GLBTI community anyway.
I think that the fields of anything where you can be a little bit extrovert, if you've overcome and you actually feel free enough to do that. And I think in that the area of radio, and I was wondering, and you did answer that question, by the way, very well.
Thank you.
Whether there were that group of students who were queer and or who also were interested in presenting, who also had that opportunity.
Yeah, I think so. We had a great collection of young people, especially just this last year, and we include pansexual. So we had 16-year-old young people identifying openly as pansexual, and we had everything from vegan lesbians to pansexual. And that's just the percentage. You know the old 1 in 10 where 10% of the community, I don't even know if that's, I think it's always higher in broadcasting.
I think so.
Or perhaps any show pony kind of event. I think one of the attractions about radio too is that you can be heard and sometimes not seen, and people who are, as we come to grips with our own identity, sometimes like that kind of mixture of anonymity and visibility.
Yeah.
Audibility?
Yeah, your audibility. Well, that actually brings me into my next question, into the female presence on radio. Now, here at Joy, we have I wouldn't say it's a high component, but we have a solid component of female presenters and volunteers and behind-the-scenes people. But there's not a huge level of female presenters within Joy or the general media. What's your perception there?
Well, we're actually about level pegging with the kind of statistical evidence of community broadcasting as a sector. So we're travelling okay. Mm. We always want more. And I think it's interesting. I don't know if there's any particular reason why. I don't think there is any particular reason why women are not encouraged or feel that they're not encouraged to be on air, because certainly that's the vibe. I don't feel that there's any particular imbalance in the amount of men and women I see in this place, because there's so many people come through at any given time. And I think it's just we're in keeping with broader statistics. I don't think there's any particular gap
No, I
did
think
I say lap?
You
I
did.
Meant, yeah,
I know. Gosh. What you meant.
Mm. Lack or a gap. And I can't, interesting.
I think actually, well, probably statistically, joy would be a higher pegging because our ratio to male and female would be, I guess the female ratio would be higher than in the general community. You know, the females out there, you know, you're the eye candy sitting next to the male presenter.
Well, commercial radio, how would you like to be? I mean, I certainly don't want to be, but how would you like to be trying to pursue a career as a woman in commercial media? What a hideous kind of role.
And a queer woman in commercial radio, you just wouldn't be out. I can't think of – can you think of one outwardly known female radio presenter? I can't think of one.
Not off the top of my head.
No, I'm sure there probably has always.
Well, I've just reading in Lesbians on the Loose that Portia de Rossi was too scared to ask Ellen DeGeneres for a date for 3 years because she was scared that that obviously dating probably the most famous lesbian in the world might indicate that she was actually a lesbian.
Oh, right.
And that her concern was for her career. Now, that's an example at the extreme. But I guess it would be – it's a fairly competitive, blokey world, commercial radio and television. And, no, I can't think of any openly queer women who are – on air.
No. And certainly within the TV, you know, you hear, and then they are therefore known from that point onward as the leser presenter or whatever it is. So they're always, and it comes.
Did you just say leser presenter?
I did.
We're just making up a whole new language here.
I have a whole new vocab.
Did I hear you say you like Celesbian?
Celesbians. I love that word.
It's interesting because it's a C-E-L...
E-S-B-I-A-N's
portmanteau of a celebrity and lesbian. But it kind of sounds like Sir Lesbian to me. So I kind of see a white horse and a Butch Dyke with, you know, a sword.
A Lancelot look.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think a lot of people will be out there now. I'm dressing up in something silver.
We're not dressing up today?
Oh, look, I am. I've got it out in the cupboard.
Great.
Now, what do you see in the future for Joy?
You know, some of it I have just because it's such an interesting time technology-wise, the beginning of the 21st century, we're into that post-noughties, let's hope we call the next decade the post-war period, but, you know, dreams are free. And so there's so much unknown about the technology, but Joy will be based in Melbourne, reaching out to the world, inclusive of those who live local, live out there, identify in many which ways, and hopefully bringing fantastic music, fantastic content and brilliant radio.
Do you think we'll be able to get a bit further? At the moment, we kind of reached a point, cookish, in a circular motion. Is there any vision
in terms of the reach?
Yeah, the audible reach, not on the online, because we can go obviously all across the world, but we kind of had that... area, just a point.
It's
cookish.
About our license and our transmitters, so there's not much change we can do on that one in a hurry.
What if we got more boost? Can we get more boost?
It's actually about what we're licensed
really?
To transmit to.
Oh.
So you can boost away.
But you can only go so far.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting? Danae, you've got something of significance that you're off to do.
Oh, should I share?
Yes, you better.
Okay, well, I am going to tune out from Joy for just a moment and watch the history of rock and roll on ABC TV One.
That's a new series, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm a bit excited. I love music, all sorts, and I love documentary, so it's a good combo for me.
Which is handy considering who you are and where you are.
Thanks for
coming in tonight.
You're welcome.
Now, hopefully you will come in and spend a lot longer with us and we can grill you on some other subjects and maybe I can be a bit clearer in my questioning.
Oh, no, you did an excellent job. Thank you. And hopefully people won't be bored by listening to me. I promise I'll step away from the microphone sometime soon.
She will, but she, of course, will be wearing her Sir Lancelot outfit, which is rather stunning anyway. Thanks, Danae.
Thanks, Sue.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.